ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I am not these bubblegum dudes you're talking to.
Pedro Fernandez.
He will be mine in round nine, and if he makes me sore, I'll cut it to four.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the World Boxing Council. Often imitated, but take my word for it, never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When you say modest, think caps, baby. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion and award-winning boxing writer. Supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? The average fan probably knows more. So I challenge the average fan at the top of each hour with the toll-free phone line. If you want to call in part, you can. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You want to text me here in the studio? You can. 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, we are a week away from, a week removed from the takeover. The takeover was taken over. I'm talking about Teofimo Lopez. Stick a fork in him. Hector thinks he's got something left in him. I think he's been exposed. I really think he's been exposed. He doesn't catch that well. He's been knocked out in sparring by that guy, Valenzuela, not once but twice. And then he got dropped in the first round by George Kambosos. Bottom line is, I'm not high on Teofimo Lopez. Take my word for it. He's a good fighter. I mean, he beat some good guys along the way, but guess what? At the end of the line here, he wasn't together for this championship, whether it was his weight, whether it was his attitude, whether it was all the layoffs or the postponements. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, George Kambosos flat out kicked his ass. What more can I say? This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Once again, open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-7429. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and about 1,000 other internet platforms. Stay tuned for the ride.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
The WBC, of course, the World Boxing Council, through their president, Mauricio Sulaiman, has negotiated some deals with the other sanctioning bodies. Of course, all that news is at WBCBoxing.com. That is the interactive World Boxing Council website. Once again, WBCBoxing.com. Tonight, of course, a WBC champion in action. Talk about Devin Haney, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Straight up, last week, 7 days away, the takeover. He was an 11-1 favorite. Nobody gave George Kambosos a chance. It wasn't whether he was going to win. You'll hear a little bit later. It was all about when he was going to get knocked out. Bottom line is, in the first round, he sort of took a little hint from Custy Amato. Custy Amato told Muhammad Ali, when he was fighting Joe Frazier the first time, he goes, "I'm fighting Joe Frazier and I'm scared. Basically, I'm scared. What should I do?" He go out there and hit him with your best right hand. Well, that's what George Kambosos did. Of course, he's now 20-0, 10 knockouts, but he came out and he threw his best right hand in the first round and it dropped Teofimo Lopez. And Teofimo Lopez came into this fight, of course, the unified champion. But then again, the WBC's got some asterisks next to that. But the bottom line is he had a lot of belts. He came in 135 pounds. That was the actual weight. He says he's died to make the weight. Of course, the fight was canceled not six, but seven times, postponed seven different times, eight different dates, lots of different venues, lots of different promoters, all that kind of good stuff. Of course, the fight was just a mess from the beginning. Okay. But Teofimo Lopez, he was going to get rid of Bob Arum. He's going to get rid of Bob Arum. Watch me. I'm smarter. I'm going to let these guys purse bid this fight. I'm going to get away from Bob Arum. I'm going to do what I want to do. Blah, 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 blah. Guess what? Didn't happen that way. Bob's laughing now. Bob got 700 grand the other night. Of course, that was just part of the cut for allowing Teofimo Lopez to win that purse bid and go with Barry Hearn. Of course, Barry Hearn and Matchroom Boxing, of course, they've basically taken over the sport of boxing as we speak. But looking back at last week's fight, there was a first round knockdown, and then there was Kambosos getting knocked down in the 10th round. But outside of that, folks, I didn't see any dominance by, I just couldn't see it. I mean, Teofimo Lopez, I wanted him to win, but you know, it's like this. You can't go against your eyes. In other words, your eyes are telling this guy's kicking his ass. He's hitting him with hooks inside. Every time he came inside, he hit him with a hook. He had a nice hard jab. He boxed sideways. And this was so important. I noticed this from the get-go. And then Hector brought it up when we're talking about Roberto and this and that. Fighting sideways is so important. Fighting sideways, you get all your reach. You get most of your leverage, this and that. You can spread things out. You don't get hit. You can lean back, this and that. You know, that's what Kambosos did. He put it all together. It was a splendid performance. I had it 115 to 112. I could have had it 115 to 111, but I gave the other guy an extra point where there was a little asterisk around there. But the bottom line is, at the end of the night, there was no way in the world anybody could have thought that Teofimo Lopez won that fight. But guess what? Doug Trail, a judge from Colorado, Connecticut, he did think so. He had like 113 to 112 or like 1 point for Teofimo Lopez. What was that man thinking? So what I'm trying to say right now is, before we even get into the judge with Socrates Palmer in a couple of minutes, before we even get into the actual judging, Mr. Doug Crail, coming up with a decision like that in a fight like that, you scored the first round 10-9. Now I realize Teofimo Lopez was putting a licking on Kambosos before he got dropped, but he got dropped. And when you get dropped that cleanly, it's a clean knockdown. That dictates a 2-point score. But you gave it 10-9 for Lopez. Had you went 10-8 there, it'd have been a draw on your card. And then come the 10th round, of course, you gave that one 10-8 to Kambosos. It was pretty obvious. It was 10-8 to Lopez. So it was pretty obvious in the rounds, any rounds you thought you could lean and give to Lopez, you did. For that, you should be banished from boxing. Straight up, Teofimo Lopez was a loser, a bad, bad, sore loser. Now, let's check out George Kambosos post-fight.
George, congratulations. Coming into this fight, the questions people had were not could you win, but what round were you going to get knocked out in? How did you pull off this upset victory?
Did I change your week? Have I changed my whole career? Never. I believed in myself, I backed myself, and I said it time after time. You might not believe me, but I believe in myself. And look at me now. I got all the jewels. I'm not the king. You got your four kings. I'm the emperor because I come to every other country and I take them out one by one. Listen, all respect to him. All respect to him. Thank you, New York City, Madison Square Garden. I love you all.
Walk me through the first round, because you promised coming in that you were going to fight fire with fire. And it wasn't Lopez that knocked you down first. It was you knocking down Lopez.
Look, Customada said a great saying. When Muhammad Ali fought Joe Frazier, an unbelievable puncher in Joe Frazier, and Muhammad Ali ran Customada and said, what do I do? Because you hit him with the best right hand you've ever thrown in your life in the first round, and you change the fight. And that's what I did. I had that in my head, my mentality. I said, I'm going to hit this guy clean, I'm going to hit him hard, and I'm going to put him down. And the fight changed after that.
The overhand right, as you said, that was there for you most of this night. Was there something that you saw on film from Teofimo that showed you he was open to that shot?
Man, my trainers, Mick Avio, Mick, we worked unbelievable in this camp. You know, it was a long, hard camp. It was never my fault. I wanted to fight ASAP. But you know what? Every day I got better and better and better and better. And I learned more and more. And I didn't take my foot off the pedal. Here we are. If you don't believe in yourself, you won't get this far. For anyone out there, back yourself. Believe in yourself, and you can do it too. All respect to Teofimo. He's a great kid. The build-up was the build-up. We're both competitive young guys. But it was my night, and it's going to be my night for a very long time. I'm the emperor.
In those middle rounds, you seemed to take control. And then in the 10th round, you got caught. What happened on that punch, and what was going through your mind over the last minute plus of that round?
You know, listen, I was trying to entertain the fans too much. I'm an unbelievable boxer. They can't believe how good I box. You know, my defense, my movement. Too sharp, too fast, too strong. My conditioning, my stamina, unbelievable. But I tried to entertain the crowd a little bit too much. Got excited a little bit too much. I got caught. But you know what? What a warrior. Got back up against all odds and still finished the fight and won the next round. Listen, this is for my kids. But my grandfather, George Kambosos, passed away 2 months ago. My family, my grandfather, I know he's in the ring with me right now. I mean, this he said it. And my whole family, my family that's here, for everyone, you know, my father.
When you got George, when you got back,
my wife,
When you got back into the corner after that 10th round, how hurt were you, and what was your mindset going into the last two?
I wasn't hurt. I looked at my team, my coach, I said, nothing. Let's go hard. The next two rounds, I'm going to punish this kid. And I won the next two rounds. No problem. That's the kind of fighter I'm a warrior. But listen, all respect to him. He's a great champion. He beat the great Vasily Lomachenko. But I'm the better fighter, and I told you, I'll be better every step of the way.
Is this, in your mind, the biggest win in Australian boxing history?
Look at me. Greatest. I'm the greatest fighter in Australian history, and that's no disrespect. I got all the
greatest
belts.
Greatest Australian fighter in history.
Listen, you're a true champ. Forget the rest.
Yo. You got, hey, hell of a fighter, but I won tonight, man. Everybody know that. The referee raised my hand. I won tonight. I don't care what anybody says, yo. I won tonight. At the end of the day, I've been here. I've done that. I want to thank God. I want to thank everybody that came out tonight. Look, I ain't no sore loser.
Yes, you are a sore loser. In fact, you are the sore loser of the decade, if not the century thus far. Teofimo Lopez, his people, of course, from Central America, but he lives in Brooklyn, New York. I'm a little upset with him because I thought he should have showed a lot more class than he did. The bottom line was, I think he was buzzed from the first round on. And let me tell you, when fighters get buzzed from the first round on, or they get buzzed early on, and then they get buzzed later in the fight, they never sometimes come out of it. And I think he was semi-knocked out almost the entire fight. Why do I say that? Because when you heard his responses at that post-fight interview, he was like almost like a punch-drunk guy. I mean, it was sad. It was sad to look at him that way. That's why fighters to get their ass whooped probably shouldn't be interviewed on TV afterwards. Either, if you lose a decision, I understand, but these guys that get knocked out, like Marlon Starling and Victor Arcini, and you ask them, hey, what happened about the knockout? They don't even remember getting knocked out. So I don't think maybe sometimes you shouldn't interview people. Anyway, bottom line is, Teofimo Lopez was an embarrassment. His father's an embarrassment. He was dancing between rounds or dancing during the rounds when his son was boxing. He's supposed to be the manager, the trainer, all that kind of good stuff, and the mentor there in the corner. He's an idiot. And you know what people say to me, what do you think of his father? Well, having been a former policeman, somebody who knows a little bit about drugs, I thought he was on some type of drugs. I mean, come on, man. If that wasn't a cocaine craziness going crazy on cocaine or booze or something like that, what is? Bottom line is that at the end of the day, I was totally blown away by Mr. Teofimo Lopez Sr. Does he deserve a second chance? No, he's probably already ruined his kid's career. Time for him to move on. After the break, I'll bring you the boxing's number one PhD, Socrates Palmer. That and more on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Smoking hot!
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated but never duplicated. One of the reasons why we are often imitated but never duplicated, as we have our next guest, of course, he is boxing's true PhD. I'm talking about the Bronx's Socrates Palmer Jr. How are you today, young man?
I'm doing great, Pedro. How you feeling?
Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Okay, so I see that you had a birthday last week. Everybody was celebrating there in the Bronx. Everybody except Teofimo Lopez.
Yeah, he couldn't make it to our shindig, but he had a good excuse. You know, he's recovering from a beating that he took last weekend, but it was a real competitive fight. I mean, obviously we're talking tongue in cheek. I thought it was a really, really good fight. I thought that Lopez, within the 12 rounds, okay, I'm not talking about him, his post-fight antics or his father. I thought he showed a lot of heart. You know, he underestimated his opponent. When he got cracked and he's in the first round and he's looking up at George Kambosos, he had that effect, that, you know, fill in the blank. And, you know, it took him a while to recover, or maybe he didn't at all. Who knows, you know, but, you know, he realized that he was in there with a guy that was not going to lay down, a guy that was hungry, a guy that was prepared, a guy that had a plan A, plan B, and had a pair, you know, he didn't come to lose. He did not come to lose, because in the 10th round, when he got dropped, he could have said, you know what? I made it this far, you know, but he out-fought the champ in those championship rounds, you know, and the fight was on the table, in my opinion, you know, and he took 11 and 12 easily, and he was the better night, the better man that night.
You know, a lot of it has to do with fear, and I know Teofimo Lopez wasn't scared of Kambosos. That was a problem because I wasn't scared of Juan Rodriguez in 1983. I'll be dated here. And I won two golden gloves, and I was smoking everybody, right? And then I fought him, and he dropped me in the very first round. I said to myself, man, something's not right here. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't right, and I lost the fight. Okay, but you just knew right away that because I wasn't scared of the guy, I didn't have the – you have to be – you really have to be scared. I mean, from that point forward, I was scared of everybody. But I thought he was such a slouch that I didn't have to – I thought he was such an 11-1 underdog, I didn't have to worry about it, much like Teofimo Lopez.
You know, I remember since Joyce Kambosos brought up Customato, and he's kind of like the Vince Lombardi of boxing. You know, he's quoted a lot, and he said, and he taught this to Mike Tyson about fear, and fear being a friend, and but you have to control that fear and that fire. And it's not, I don't think it's necessarily fear of another human being. You know, I've never seen another man eat someone else. It's the fear of losing. It's the fear of, what if I'm not good enough? And Kambosos was under control, man. He really was. He showed maturity. You know, I think he's a little bit more of a grown up than Teofimo Lopez, and that really showed. You know, really showed. It's easy to knock Lopez's father, you know, but we also have to admit he had a horrible night. But it was Lopez's dad that brought him to where he's at now. So, you know,
okay. Now you can look at it that way. No,
he was a jerk. Right, you know what I mean?
Brought him to the depths of where he is now because of the fact that had the father been together as a manager, I mean, there was no rematch clause in the contract. I thought they should have learned that
horrendous.
From Vasyl Lomachenko, you know. So they don't learn stuff. Their business ethics, they're not too good. They try to burn Bob Arum, and that's not the smartest thing in the world to do because, you know, now Master Bob, I saw them wanting to crawl back to Master Bob this week. Get something like, oh, we really know, we missed the love from Top Rank, this and that. That's what the old man said this week. After you all but pissed on Arum in front of him.
He sounded like a total clown, and it's very hard to beat the establishment. And Top Rank is the establishment, okay? They've been around a long time, long after, way before Teofimo Lopez was born, and I'm sure they'll be around after he's gone from boxing. Lopez, if he really wants redemption, he's going to have to humble himself and take short money and go to Australia and fight Kambosos, because Kambosos doesn't have to do it, you know, but he could take a page from another Brooklynite, Zab Judah, who went to Corey Spinks' hometown and knocked him the bleep out. If you remember that.
I was there.
Yeah.
You know what? Hey, right? I had so much money invested in that weekend, you would not believe it. And we thought that Corey Spinks was going to win. We went out there and shot this big Corey Spinks TV special in advance. We shot the special in advance of the fight, bro. Me and Don King, we shot the special in advance of the fight, and then he lost. So it was like, damn!
That's what he's going to have to do. That's what he's going to have to do. But I don't think it's going to happen. Because right now, the world is Kambosos' oyster. I mean, and I still think the jury's out. I don't think we'll ever see Kambosos look as great as he did last week. Just me personally. I mean, I was wrong. Hey, I picked against him. It's not going to be the first time I'm wrong. So, you know.
Well, but here's what's up. I gave him a little bit more of a chance than the 11-1 underdog in the weeks leading up to the fight because of the fact that they had six or seven postponements of this fight. And I knew the other guy, Teofimo Lopez, was having problems making the weight. And guess what? A couple of those postponements were within like a week of the fight. So that means he was almost at weight and then had the fight stop. So I thought that might play a part. I think that weight did play a part in this. And of course, Teofimo couldn't let his hands go. After winning that 10th round, he should have came out for the 11th round and said, try to put Kambosos away. Instead, Kambosos started kicking his ass again.
That's when you need someone honest in your corner. You know, that's when, you know, someone.
Time out. No, you won that round too. Remember that one? Two. He means T-O-O, which means also. I didn't have Teofimo winning the round he was talking about or the prior round. The old man was either on drugs or he's delusional, one or the other.
I wouldn't say he's delusional. I think he was just a typical Little League Dad. You know, you see, right? I coached, I was a teacher for a long time, just a typical parent. Just leave your kid alone. Let him do his thing, you know? But he needed some coaching there in that corner, you know? Someone like, you know, like the late, great, I'm getting old. Sugar Ray Leonard he needed that Sugar Ray Leonard, motivation in there. You're blowing the fight, kid. It just wasn't there. I have a question though. Did you see the article that came out that said that, he was possibly fighting with pneumonia? It came out, he was examined in his post fight.
Yeah, but you know.
But he didn't use it as an excuse because obviously you heard the buffoonery. He thought he won the fight. But that's something, I think probably the New York State Athletic Commission to do a better job in examining fighters before then, you know.
But, he's trying to say he had a torn esophagus or something like that. That's not something you can really tell in a pre-fight physical.
You can't tell in a pre-fight physical.
I mean, you would have to do like an MRI or a CAT scan in order to determine those kind of results. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, he lost as a new kid on the block. I think he's white, he's bright, he's got an Australian accent, which may put some people off, but the bottom line is, I think he's got the complexion and the connection, Lou DiBella, okay, the connection to go some places, man, and to beat these guys. I mean, he could present problems for all these guys with that sideways style. You can't penetrate the sideways style because he's so long.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you're right. And I'm glad you brought up Lou DiBella because which direction is Lou going to take him in? I mean, does he wait for the winner of tonight, Haney and JoJo? Does he wait for Ryan Garcia, which is probably the bigger payday? Or does he wait for tomorrow night? He got Tank Davis. So the world, it's George's world right now. We're living in it. And he fought his heart out and he deserves all the praise. And he was very classy after the victory.
He was very classy,
articulate. He's an easy fighter to root for.
Yeah. Back to Lou DiBella. I think, listen, there's no doubt in my mind that Kambosos is going to fight in front of 80,000 people down there in Australia, whether it's against, I don't think it'll be the only one I could tell you that won't be stepping in the ring with him that night, two people, is you or me. The outside of that, somebody's going to meet George Kambosos in Australia in front of 80,000 people, without a doubt.
That's the logical move. I mean, you come back a hero. Absolutely. I mean, I hope that it's on American TV.
It will be, but you can't, anybody can sell 80,000 tickets. They are the king. That makes you the king. You sell 80,000 seats, you're the king. Canelo can sell maybe 80,000 seats in Mexico City. This kid's going to sell 80,000 seats down there in Australia. The entire country's going to get behind him. I mean, that whole block of the world's going to get behind him. I think that's good. You know, of course, Jeff Fenwick, the former champion from down there, they were considered the greatest Australian fighter before him, held titles at 118, 122, and 126 before failing at 130 against Azuma Nelson. That was a bit of a robbery the first time they called it a draw, but the second time he got knocked out. Outside of that, you have to get Kambosos that best fighter in Australian history tag already.
Already, huh? I gotta respect Jeff Fenwick a little bit more than that. But definitely the biggest victory in Australian boxing history, without a doubt.
Well, you know, with the Fenwick thing, see, Fenwick was on. Fenwick did a lot of Fenwick like Flintstone vitamins. We'll talk about that maybe after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hopefully, Sock can stick around for a couple of more minutes with me. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide coming to you on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, of course, Channel 217, and about 1,000 other internet platforms, including VTV. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated but never duplicated. Tonight, we've got, got a lightweight battle tonight and a lightweight battle tomorrow night. Who is the king of lightweights? Is it really George Kambosos? Will we know tomorrow night? I think we will. Bottom line is you're tuned to Ring Talk and WBC TV.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Saturday night, December the 4th, of course, at the Stockton Civic Auditorium. The reason I want to bring this up is that Al Aguayo was the best fighter to ever come out of Stockton, California. He won the Golden Gloves many, many times. He won it in different weight classes because he didn't want to make the weight that he had made before. In other words, just move up in weight. In other words, he's still kicking ass moving up in weight. Bottom line is he was a multi-time Golden Glove champion. He died November 28th, 2018 when he was in a sauna. He overheated in a sauna, but he had some diabetic issues, things like that. So I miss him. And of course, there's boxing tonight. He was a hero, man. He called himself the legend. That was an appropriate nickname. No doubt about that. But tonight they've got a card on Fight TV beginning at 6 o'clock PM Pacific time. Actually 4 o'clock Pacific time in Stockton, California. Going to get a card on television, Toscano Promotions YouTube and TV box sale at 7:30 PM Eastern time, 4:30 PM Pacific time. You can watch it on that YouTube channel, but the Fight TV is going to have the main event. At the Civic Auditorium in Stockton, Toscano Promotions presents a pretty good fighters. I mean, you know, you're not going to see the best fighters in the entire world, but Damian Sosa and Clay Gollard can definitely hook it up. That should be an entertaining main event. Little side story on Stockton, California. I was a ring announcer there about 15 or 20 years ago, and somebody threw a cell phone from the cheap seat after I announced the hometown guy had lost, and he hit me in the head and knocked me out. So outside of getting knocked out on national television, God, the camera wasn't on me, but straight up, it was embarrassing. We go back to the Bronx and bring in Sebastian. How's Sebastian doing there?
He's doing good. You might be able to hear him in the background. He's a little cranky, but he's okay. He's getting over a little cold, but he's good. Thank you for asking.
Devin Haney is looked, some people thought, I thought a couple of times he looked like a genius, a boxing genius, maybe something of pugilistic brilliance. And other times, I wasn't so excited. Tonight, he's going against a guy in Jojo Diaz. Does size matter in combat sports? Is Jojo Diaz just too small to win here?
You know what? That's definitely an advantage that Devin Haney's going to have, is being the longer guy. I mean, Devin Haney's a big lightweight. I mean, if you ever meet Devin Haney, he could probably fill out to like welterweight easily, or even junior middleweight. He's not a small guy. Jojo's going to have to bring it, you know. Jojo Diaz is underrated. He's good. He's not great. He's good. And he's been in there against pretty good competition if you look at his career. I mean, he fought Gary Russell, went the distance, didn't get it done. His last time out, he looked good against a Dominican lightweight. Can't remember his name right now. But Jojo is a former Olympian, solid fundamentally, and he can crack. And Devin Haney's going to have to be very cautious, especially at the beginning, because I don't think Jojo Diaz is coming to lay down at all.
Well, I mean, Linares caught him on the chin and sort of made his world go a little crazy, mm-hmm. a little sideways there. You know, you brought up Gary Russell. They don't even put him on milk cartons anymore.
Okay. Gary Russell, I call him the Mariah Carey or Perry Cuomo of boxing. He comes out once a year. You know, like the Christmas album. It's a shame, but I guess he's made enough money that he just doesn't care. It's a job, you know. Gary Russell could have been somebody special at one point.
Where did he win? Where did he make the money? Has he made some paydays I haven't seen or what?
I mean, he fought Lomachenko, but then after that, I mean, after getting schooled by Lomachenko, he beat Johnny Gonzalez, He might be the longest reigning world champion.
And you know, I don't have too much faith in Johnny. Johnny could even spell his name right.
You know,
you remember that, right?
Yes.
He has some issues. He has some issues spelling his name. They said it was a mistake on the birth certificate, but they said, screw it. It's okay. Okay.
I mean,
now tomorrow night.
I'll hang face these guys good, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow night, of course, the kid, the problem child, to sort of call him, because he's got himself in a bit of trouble here and there. And of course, Mayweather has bailed him out. I'm talking about Gervonta Davis, the tank unbeaten, a guy that's won belts at 130, 135, and 140. Of course, now he's defending at 135 against a pretty good fighter. Tell me about the opponent.
Well, Isaac Cruz is going to be very aggressive. Well, he's normally a very aggressive fighter. Will he be aggressive against someone that could take him out one shot? We're going to find out. Last minute replacement. He's playing with house money. getting the biggest stage he's ever seen in front of the biggest audience. It's going to be very, very telling because Tank, the last year or so, kind of embodies like the lazy puncher. You know, if you, he didn't look great against Santa Cruz until he caught Santa Cruz and he ended him. You know, but he was losing that fight.
And yeah, but that was that was one of those eventuality type of things. I knew it.
Exactly right. It was as good as going to last. You know, but you know, and probably the same thing happens tomorrow night.
Okay,
I'm not sure if it tanked. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Raleigh Romero. As crazy as he is, okay, he's a bit of a nut. I think he's in line for some step-aside money. I think that's exactly what's going to happen here. Somebody's going to pay him to step aside in 2022. But, you know, he didn't get charged by the cops or anything like that. And now I know several women came out. And anytime you get six women making complaints against you, there's probably some merit to it. But the bottom line is they didn't charge him. So should he have gotten this fight?
Should Romero have to step aside from this fight?
No. Shouldn't he have gotten this fight? He wasn't criminally charged. I mean, this has been going on for weeks now. Nobody criminally charged him. I mean, he's a bad guy. He's a bad guy that's a little bit over-assertive with women, supposedly, or allegedly. But the bottom line is with no criminal charges filed, you think they put the cart before the horse?
Well, I mean, in this country, it used to be innocent until proven guilty. But now it's like, you know, we don't even want to deal with you, you know, the bad publicity. And, I mean, it was Espinoza's call at Showtime. You know, they dumped him right away.
Steven Espinoza.
Yeah. You know, Romero probably got screwed. But if he did those crimes, then he should definitely pay. And he should have his day in court as well. I mean, okay. If anything, as insensitive as it sounds, it probably would have been the best thing for his promotion. You know, it would have given it a lot of attention. I mean, let's face it. I mean, there are some very notorious characters that have fought in boxing, okay, and that have been stars in boxing. And it won't. Rolly Romero is not the first, and he won't be the last.
Okay. I thought the fact that Mr. Cambosos pulled off this upset last week. I've been thinking about it. I can't think of anything better that could have happened to the sport of boxing. I'm sorry that Teofimo Lopez had to be sacrificed for that. But the bottom line is this brings even more excitement and more attention. And if people are talking lightweights, I mean, you know, and Cambosos is willing to fight these other guys where Teofimo put an asterisk next to everything. Oh, I'll fight this guy at 140. I'll fight this guy this way. The bottom line is we have a lightweight champion now that can make 135 and he's willing to fight anybody supposedly.
Hey, upsets are good in sports. I mean, let's face it. It's why we watch. You know, we can analyze everything before it happens and give praise and this and that, but it's the human element. We don't know what happens until it's, you know, fight night. And it was a great thing. It was, you know, the upset of the year for sure. And, you know, it's a shame that it happened this late in the year. I don't know if it was good enough to win Fighter of the Year for Cambosos, but okay. It was definitely the victory of the year.
Okay, Don Trail, his score of giving Teofimo Lopez a fight, does that disqualify him as a professional boxing judge?
Yeah, I don't think there was any way he could have scored that fight for Lopez at all. I mean, like I said, the worst could have been a draw.
Not even that. I'm cringing here. Ooh, I mean, I'm just cringing because you can't lay out an asshole. But listen, I could have gave Cambosos more rounds than I did. But I was being somewhat cautious and said to myself, well, you know, so I gave Teofimo, I thought, the benefit of the doubt, and that wasn't in too many rounds. And at the end of the day, I thought Mr. Cambosos won one going away. Bill Haney, that's the father of Devin Haney. Are these fathers being involved? Is this not coming working out the right way? I mean, the Teofimo Lopez father thing, that seems to be a bit of a mistake because he was playing with guys that he shouldn't have been playing with. He was playing cards with Bob Arum. I mean, you don't play cards with Bob Arum. Bob Arum, you know, threw him out of the casino.
It was like that moment in the movie Casino, right? The hillbilly puts his feet up on the table, and De Niro gets him kicked out. Yeah, you gotta choose your battles wisely, you know, and Teofimo's career was just starting. Someone like Floyd Mayweather, Oscar De La Hoya, those guys, when they had the opportunity to stick it to Bob, they did, because they already had used Bob's platform to become the stars that they were. Teofimo was still an infant in stardom, if I'm trying to make any sense of drawing any parallels. You know, you got to be careful who you play with, and they got burned. The only way that Lopez has redemption, he either humbles himself, like I said, and goes into Cambosis' hometown and begs for a rematch, or he goes up to 140 and sees what he can do against bigger guys who could punch harder, and, you know, let's see what happens. You know, but they have egg on their face.
Okay, The pay-per-view for Terrence Crawford did 190,000 homes. That's not too bad. And then, of course, now he's leaving Aram and going with, looks like PBC. Is that final? Are they done? It didn't look like Bob Arum and Terrence Crawford were ever going to shake hands again after that last little exchange here.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good example. I can't believe that. Terrence Crawford is already a star. And if he wants to stick it to Bob, embarrass Bob the way he did at that press conference, well-deserved. Well-deserved. Because Bob, you know, really disrespected him, and Bob Arum, let's face it, he's a legend, you know, and he's never had any hair on his tongue. Especially now in his older age, he says whatever comes to mind, you know, and, now he's gonna see.
I heard him say, how the F did I know, or something like that. You know, he didn't used to talk that way to me.
No, I don't know, whatever he's smoking these days has him a little bit more bolder. But
anyway, bottom line is he is almost 90 years old. Don King's talking about some type of a upcoming card. Have you heard anything about that? Don's going to try to do a show in Ohio. Have you heard anything about that?
I haven't, but doesn't he have a piece of the guy that Canelo's fighting, the cruiserweight?
Oh, I don't know.
I think he's involved with that guy. I
wish he would get involved or just step back and not be involved. One or the other. Sort of like he's an unknown commodity in boxing right now. Of course, Bob Arum's still playing his game. He's playing it well. In fact, you know, what Terrence Crawford didn't realize, though, was that 190,000 homes, a lot of those homes were put together by ESPN, and the fact that they have that umbrella put together. And when you buy this, you buy that, you get this, you get that. In other words, there was a lot of incentive by ESPN pushing this fight to buy it. In other words, he put it this way. Crawford made a good amount of money, but I don't think it was indicative of Crawford's pay-per-view power. I just don't think so.
Yeah, I agree with that. And let's face it, two black American fighters, pay-per-view that are not heavyweights is a hard sell.
But they did 200,000 homes. Speaking of a hard sale, I want to wish you a very good weekend, a very good week. Of course, happy birthday, and you and the wife, and of course the children. I'm sure are having a wonderful week. But man, I can't tell you enough that we cherish the fact that you're able to spend time with us each week, Socrates. I just have to tell you that. And tell your father, as I said, the greatest name of all time is probably Socrates Palmer Jr. That's a killer name, man.
Thank you so much, Pedro. Love you. Have a great rest of the weekend, and enjoy the fights.
All the best. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC
with Pedro Fernandez.
This is one of my favorite tunes, but the bottom line is, if you're not here to listen to my music, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, guess this, I'm trying to get Ali Walsh on the show. Who's that? He's Muhammad Ali's grandson. He's 2-0 with a couple of knockouts. I mean, he doesn't look like the next coming of Sugar Ray Leonard, but the bottom line is, he's a good story, and of course, he is the grandson of the greatest. Now, Kashawn Davis, the a lightweight, of course, that won the silver medal at the Tokyo Olympics. Of course, that's 2020. He's now 3-0 with two whacks. Bottom line is he's going to take on Mexican veteran. Get this, Jose Zaragoza, 8-3-1 with two KOs. Of course, it's going to be on the Richard Comey, Vasily Lomachenko. Of course, the comeback of Vasily Lomachenko just 1 week away. That'll be on Top Rank ESPN television, no doubt about that. But Lomachenko, of course, the twice-beaten fighter, was mugged his first loss against Orlando Salido, lost against Teofimo Lopez. Of course, Lopez lost last week. Lomachenko was calling Lopez all kinds of names this week, and none of them were good. The bottom line is, Teofimo Lopez was booed by his own hometown crowd. Did you hear those people booing in the background? You know I won this fight. They booed that, man. They knew he didn't win that fight. He didn't even come close to winning that fight. In fact, that's why I said that I think that the kid wasn't delusional. I think he was, if he was delusional, it was from the fact that I think he was hurt early in the fight and he never recovered. I mean, because after the fight, he was talking like a knocked out fighter. Ooh, like a knocked out fighter. Anyway, bottom line is tonight, Devin Haney, of course, in the main event. Tomorrow night, Gervonta Davis in the main event. Two nights of boxing. Check it out. Of course, the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide comes to you Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. 2 hours of Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sunday. Of course, I'll bring in the retired HBO Godfather. Talk about Mr. Larry Murch. We'll talk about the weekend of boxing. We'll hear from the winner of the Devin Haney fight. We'll also hear from the winner of, no, Gervonta Davis. Of course, that takes place tomorrow night. Good Sunday boxing. I think that's good. Sunday boxing cards are good on television, folks. We can all sit around the TV and watch the fights together. Until next time, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, comes to you Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific, and that's 2 p.m. Eastern time on these same channels and Sirius XM Satellite Radio, channel 217. See you Sunday!